kind of ogre now. The big bad taskmaster who's abusing his volunteer helpers. Vijay took a sip of the lukewarm tea, then asked, "How do you feel about it?" He stared at her for a long moment. "This is a psych quiz, isn't it?" She lowered her eyes, then replied, "The emotional stability of this group is as important as its physical health. You know that."
"And I'm a threat to the group's emotional stability," he muttered.
Vijay smiled at him.
"It's not about you, Carter."
"Isn't it?"
"Not entirely. There are 200 and some other people here, you know."
"Most of whom would gladly push me out the airlock in my jockey shorts."
"You are a narcissist," she said, laughing.
He cocked his head to one side. "It is the stars above us, govern our conditions."
"What's that from? Shakespeare?"
"King Lear, if I remember correctly."
"Didn't Shakespeare also say that the fault is not in the stars, but in ourselves?"
Nodding, Carlton said, "That's from Julius Caesar."
"So which is it, the stars or ourselves?"
"Both," he said, with a tired sigh.
"Neither."
More seriously, Vijay asked,
"Are you going to be all right?"
"Me? I'm fine. Go do a psych profile on that hot-headed biologist if you're looking for a troublemaker."
"Maybe I should," she said.
"There you are." Turning, Vijay saw Jamie approaching their table. She broke into a big smile.
"I thought you were going to stay in Chang's office all night," she said.
Jamie pulled a chair from one of the unoccupied tables and sat between Carlton and Vijay. He needed to have his feathers smoothed a little. He doesn't show it much, but he gets just as worked up as any of us.
"You don't," Carlton said. "You're always as cool as a sea breeze."
"Not inside," Jamie said. Turning to Vijay, "Had dinner yet?"
"Not yet."
Looking back at Carlton, Jamie asked, "Would you like to join us?" Carlton's eyes flickered from Jamie to Vijay and back again. Then he said, "No, thanks. I'm not very hungry this evening." He got to his feet and walked away without another word. Vijay watched him go.
"He's a ticking bomb," she murmured.
"Just what we need," said Jamie. Heading toward his quarters, Carlton had to pass the table where Larkin was sitting with another man and two women. He nodded graciously to them. The lean-faced biologist gave him a wary nod back. Halfway across the dome, Carlton looked back over his shoulder at Waterman and his wife, standing at the service counter loading their trays, smiling at each other. "She's beautiful, and therefore to be wooed," he quoted to himself. "She is a woman, therefore to be won." Tithonium Base, midnight. Billy Greycloud sipped at a lukewarm mug of coffee as he watched the computer's latest run scroll down the desktop monitor screen. Outside the partitions of the comm center, the dome was dark, shadowy. Everybody else was asleep, Greycloud thought. He had volunteered for the night shift at the comm center so that he could work on his attempt to translate the Martian pictographs. No disturbances. The dome's life support systems were running smoothly enough, and the occasional message from Earth was never so important that it couldn't wait until morning to be read and acted on. Volunteered. Greycloud mulled the word around in his mind. The idea of volunteering had caused a big blow-up a few hours earlier. Zeke Larkin and Dr. Carlton were sore enough to start socking each other, Greycloud thought, right there at the lockers alongside the main airlock, in front of everybody. For a while, Greycloud thought that maybe one of them was high on drugs, maybe both of them. Even Chang got into it. But then Dr. Waterman came on the scene and calmed them all down. Sitting bleary-eyed at the central console in the communication center, Greycloud wondered what Dr. Waterman had done, what he had said to put an end to the fight. He had no doubt that Dr. W. had been the peacemaker. No doubt at all. Greycloud had been one of the volunteers out at the dig when Larkin had exploded. Dr. Carlton had been pretty bossy, Greycloud thought, but the anthropologist was always a hard ass out there. He called it his dig, and that's the way he thought of it. Volunteers like me are just supposed to do what we're told and not talk back. So what? He asked himself. Why did Larkin get so uptight? Greycloud yawned and stretched his arms over his head. Forget about it. Dr. W. smoothed things over. Get back to your own work and stop rehashing what happened this afternoon. Yesterday afternoon, he corrected himself. It's past midnight. He returned his attention to the words scrolling down the desktop screen. Gibberish. No sense to them. Sun, Cook River, make house unknown word, unknown word. With a shake of his head, Gray Cloud decided that his latest stab at assigning words to the Martian symbols was a complete flop. With a touch of a key, he blanked the screen, then called up the images of the Martian pictographs. They mean something, Gray Cloud told himself. But what? He yawned again and noticed that it was actually well past 1 a.m. Get some sleep, he told himself. The comm center doesn't need you sitting here all night. Messages from Earth are routed automatically, and we don't have anybody out on an excursion, so there won't be any calls from outside the dome. If anything goes wrong with the life support systems, the alarms will whoop everybody wide awake in 2 seconds. He reached for the keyboard to shut down the computer. But the Martian images entranced him. They've been sitting on that wall for millions of years, he told himself. They can wait another couple of hours. Yet he kept staring at them as if he could make the symbols speak to him. He fell asleep in his chair in front of the computer screen. Bright morning sunlight slanted through the dome's transparent walls as Jamie sat tensely in his bungee cord chair and stared at his desktop screen. His cubbyhole of an office was bare except for the laptop computer resting on the shaky folding table and the other empty chair. The thin, flexible smart screens that he had taped to the cubicle's partitions were blank, gray. Only his laptop showed Dex Trumbull's earnest face. Dex had warned him to plug in the earphone for this message. He didn't want anyone to overhear it. Now, as Jamie sat listening to his proposal, he understood why. I know it goes against the grain, Jamie, Dex was saying, but we've got to face the facts. If you want to keep the program going, this is the only way to get the funding you need. Dex was at his home on Boston's North Shore, Jamie could see, in his darkly paneled den. Through the narrow window behind Dex, Jamie could see thickly leaved maple trees glowing red and gold in the afternoon sun. It must be autumn in New England, he thought in a separate part of his mind as he tried to digest what Dex was saying. It won't be like a swarm of tourists, Jamie. This will be strictly a high-end operation. Raleigh Kinnear figures he can get $50 million a pop. $50 million each. If we ferry 10 people to Mars for a week's visit, that's $500 million gross. Do that 3-4 times a year and we can support your people indefinitely. 10 wealthy tourists, Jamie thought. Then 10 more. Then 20, 25, 100, 1,000. They'll trample around here and ruin everything. We won't be able to get any work done. They'll want souvenirs. Be the first in your crowd to bring back a rock from Mars. Look, I brought a piece of pottery from the Martian village. Jamie shuddered. I've talked it over with the Navajo president and her council, Dex was going on. They're not crazy about the idea, but they'll go along with it because it can bring in money for them. Let the pale faces have their little settlement by the water's edge, Jamie thought with the bitterness of tribal memory. There's only a few of them, and the land is wide and free. Dex was saying, the council voted to approve the plan, but only providing that you handle the operation from your end. You personally. They don't trust anybody else to take care of the tourists properly. See that they don't mess things up over there. You want me to be the Judas, Jamie answered silently. Open up Mars to tourism and let Jamie take the responsibility. He listened to Dex's words and watched his erstwhile friend's face closely as the man spoke. Dex's expression alternated from earnest enthusiasm to worried apprehension to an almost truculent insistence. I know you won't like this idea, Jamie, but it's the only way we can raise enough money to keep you guys going. Otherwise, we're going to have to shut down the whole operation and bring you all back home. And once we leave, your friends can come in and set up a wide-open tourism operation. See the Martian cliff dwellings. Plant your footprints where no human being has stood before. walk through an ancient Martian